Welcome to Heroes Asylum, episode number 10. This is our 10th anniversary. We're hitting the double digits, so you guys, I hope you guys enjoy this.
Just a little clap. 10 episodes, Captain Mike. We made it.
A quarter century ago, our two heroes were locked away in the asylum, exposed to decades of old comic books and pop culture magazines. Eventually, they broke free and are running the asylum. Now, they control what you hear. Welcome to Heroes Asylum.
Welcome, everybody, to Heroes Asylum, our weekly podcast where we discuss movies, TV shows, everything that you wanted to hear about. And we are here once again for our 10th anniversary. Or not 10th anniversary, I want to talk about 10th episode.
Really?
We have hit double digits.
Are we already at 10 years?
Oh, man, you know how it is, man.
Is that what you want to tell me?
It's been a long weekend, man. Second show for the weekend. For a little bit of a party last night to celebrate my birthday, my post-birthday.
Happy birthday to Captain Mike, by the way.
Yes. So, yes.
He's 25 years old again.
25, that's right.
25.
So, but here we are. Yeah, we're this is our weekly podcast, so we're here. And I want to thank everybody for downloading, subscribing. We have now gone international. We have had a few listeners over on the across the pond from us over in Japan and also in Africa, actually. So we want to thank everybody and welcome everybody. And make sure you guys always check out heroesasylum.com. And here's the hostess moat with the mostest, Thanatos Kane, man. How you doing, man?
Captain Mike, what's going on?
Oh, you know how I am.
I know how you are.
So we're going to go ahead and start off this episode, like we always do, with the admissions ward.
Welcome to the asylum and the admissions ward.
So what do you have today? So you got what's your first offering?
Well,
I think you and I are gonna tandem this one this week. So
yep, we're gonna do a little double duty on the admissions ward this week.
Duty,
yes sir, duty. I said duty. Anyway, one of the first things in the admissions ward that came to me on the clipboard from the doctor himself was one of our newer patients in the ward, or actually one of the older patients.
Yeah, I was
is
say.
The Joker trailer finally dropped this week.
Ooh.
The Todd Phillips film Joker finally dropped. Ever since this movie was announced about a year ago, I know you have really been against it. I was against it for the longest time, but naturally over the months and then year, I actually started thinking about it, thinking about who was producing it, thinking about who is in it, especially Joaquin, who I think Joaquin is just an insane actor. And then when this trailer dropped, I was almost on the floor thinking, oh my God, this is a comic book movie that I've basically always wanted. Like, it's number one, it's super grounded. Number two, it's almost like a Scorsese film. It had that Goodfellas Taxi Driver ride.
Yes,
and
definitely.
It just looks insane. I mean, it just looks like a guy who's going through the motions and he's going to that path to become the Joker. So it's like, you know what? I didn't want a Joker origin film. But now after seeing it, I can't wait to see it. What do you think?
I'm rewatching it right now just to kind of just get it in. I did rewatch it a few more times today. My anti-Joker comments I've made before about the movie, it's kind of the same thing. I made a comment about Venom, and I'm still like on the fence with Venom. But to me, you don't heroize your villains, and these are your classic villains to two of the most classic superheroes. You know, you've got, you know, Batman's, you know, complete opposite, his yin to his yang, the Joker, and then you have, you know, Spider-Man with Venom, who was, you know, complete opposite. Yes, I do know Venom eventually did turn into a, you know, an anti-hero of sorts, but I just don't see giving pity to a villain who, in all rights, is the most despicable character that's out in comic books. I just have trouble looking at that and going, oh, we're going to make a movie, and because now you're going to humanize the Joker, and the Joker should never be humanized. That's kind of how I feel. But rewatching this, they did humanize him, but they made him more pathetic, and it wasn't that, you know, they were humanizing him as giving him a heart or anything, but he's just beaten down. And in this whole trailer, the one thing it kept popping up in my head was for the Darkest Knight, you know, everybody has a bad day. It takes one bad day to turn into him. And that's what I see here in this one little moment. It's just that one bad day that we're watching.
Yeah, his slow descent into madness. I mean, there was a couple scenes in the trailer which you kind of see that. Number one is the first one of the first scenes where he's on the train.
Yeah.
And basically, after he's been hit, you know, when he's getting hit by the guy on the floor, and you see him, they're asking, what is he doing? And he's just basically laughing hysterically because he's been beaten so much, like you just said, that he's being driven into madness. And the second scene is when he's on the steps, and you can see him when he's like, he's trying, it's almost like when he's going up, he's almost going up like, you know, he knows where he's certain. When he's going down, he's like just jiggling down, like he's jiggling down toward his madness.
Right.
Like he's almost trying to stay upright to stay up. And when he's going down, you could see him just kind of sloshing and going back and forth. And that's his descent into becoming the Joker. Like I said, I'd never wanted this film ever, but now that we've got it, I'm almost fascinated to see where they're going to go with it. You know, to also piggyback on that thing, like you never wanted it. I always thought about Elseworlds. DC's king of the Elseworlds.
Oh, so yeah, no, they definitely
I think of this as an Elseworlds. You know, it's like, you know, it's not in a normal continuity. It's just a one-off, which I think it will be, unless it does, you know, insanely well, then they might do a part 2.
Yeah, this one needs to, it should, because, I mean, the only way you can do a part 2 is to start introducing, you know, the DCU.
That's what I was thinking.
You know, and
well,
that's kind of falls under a slippery slope, because especially if we can't handle a standard Batman movie anymore, you know, adding him into a an Elseworld style one could be really dangerous and slippery. I think I was telling you, I told you last night or two nights ago that, you know, I believe there's already been a Joker movie already made, and it's out there already. You know, the 1989 Batman, to me, that's a true Joker movie, because when you really watch, you're watching Jack Napier, you're watching Jack Nicholson's character transform and become, you know, going through that process. You really aren't seeing much of Batman. Batman's already there. He's an established character in that world already. This, in, you know, the 1989 Batman, you're watching the birth of the Joker and and the downfall of the Joker all in one. So I really look at that one as a true Joker origin story, so to speak. And they do it right. They show him how, you know, the world, how dirty and wrong he is and how mad he is and what happens, because you still need your morality tale to take place. And this one, it looks more, I think I saw a meme online. It said, you know, in the 1980s, how do you create a Joker? You drop him in a vat of, you know, toxin. And today's culture, to make a Joker, you introduce him to society.
And it interesting. I've seen that meme. I actually dig that meme.
Yeah, I mean, I can kind of see where they're going with that. But at the same time, I guess I'm still that purist at heart. Is like my villains are my villains, and I don't want to have my villains humanized and turn.
But they're not humanizing him. They're basically showing his descent. I don't think they're ever going to humanize the Joker. If they did, then I would never watch this movie.
I don't know. With the trailer, whether you see the scenes with him and his mom, him dancing around with his mom, bathing his mom, taking care of her, that's showing a human side to the Joker.
Maybe he's a little bit nutty. I mean, maybe he still lives with his mom. So
It looks like he does. He looks like he's a mama's boy. And
that's a mama's boy.
Okay. But
looks
that's
like
what
he's
I'm saying.
On dates.
But that's what I'm saying, the humanizing of him. I mean, it looks like he did go on a date with the one girl that was on there, who probably will end up being his first victim.
Probably be his first victim. That'll be the end of him. So, but I dig it. I like his costume, though. It's very George Romero.
It is very, yeah. That's the one thing I was looking at. That, and even I was even kind of questioning the true clown makeup and not the way we've had him in the past. The more sinister looking. This is just straight clown makeup. That one, I'm sitting here staring at a picture of him sitting there grinning with the clown makeup on right now. I actually like that a little bit better.
You know, you'll be seeing that costume in a lot of the cons this year.
Oh,
trust
yeah,
me.
Yeah, and it's an easy costume. It is basic clown makeup. You don't have to get very.
Yeah, just get a purple suit and a vest and
dye your hair green.
Dye your hair green.
And that, I think that's probably one of my favorite parts in that trailer is that scene where you're watching him dye his hair green. Where it's like that's the moment he's finally turned.
I just want to see when he goes insane.
Yeah.
That's what I'm waiting for. I mean, remember that taxi driver? I mean, you've seen Taxi
Driver. Oh, yeah, I've seen Taxi
Driver. Old-ass movie, but you remember the when he finally just basically flips out.
Yep.
And he has all those scenes where he's just, oh, that's what I'm waiting for. I'm waiting for like the scene where he finally just flips and he just goes all Joker on somebody.
I think the one thing I did laugh at was somebody had posted during about the trailer was the one scene where he sees the kid in the gate. That's young Bruce Wayne. I was like, no, let's not do that. Let's leave that alone. We don't have to.
I don't. I'll tell you what, and I'm a bit, as you know, as you know, and everybody knows, I'm a huge Bat fan, and I would love the connection, but I don't want it.
No,
I don't want it.
Not to have Bruce Wayne that young. We've got that in Gotham, and
I just don't want to see it.
But speaking of Gotham, since we're doing tandem, I guess I'll pick this one up.
Okay.
The Joker, they released a picture of the Joker for Gotham this year, or for the final season. And I got to tell you, that's the Joker.
That's the creepy, vile Joker. I mean, he's lost all his hair. That's a Joker with basically like a thrown in acid. And
you know,
he woke. He's lost all his hair. He's insane looking, and
he just looks like you and I were talking before about it. And I was like, that's the Joker that looks like he doesn't give a crap about anything, even himself. He just looks worn out. Like you said, the hair's just matted. It looks like it's half like fallen out, going half bald. You can't tell if that's makeup that's caked on there or if that's like his skin like dripping off because of the ass.
It just looks super creepy.
That one actually like scared me, and I'm not one of those people that I don't get scared of the clowns. Clowns are clowns. They're there for, you know, they're happy little things. My mom and my stepfather actually were clowns, so they went to clown college. So that may explain some things about me, but I don't see that.
Explains a lot.
I don't see, the fear of clowns. I've never seen that. But that one, that Joker really just shocked me. I was like, whoa, wait, what is that? My eyes couldn't even go to the wording on the article. My eyes just stayed at him. And this is one without the Batman in the background. This is one that was just him. Another one came out, I think, with the still Batman, but the back turned.
I'm looking forward to this episode. I think it airs in a couple weeks as we're recording this. But final season of Gotham, you might as well just go all out.
Yeah.
And from what I read, I forgot the producer's name, Bruno something of Gotham. He mentioned that the last episode of Gotham is basically a pilot of a would-be Batman series, if it ever happened, which it'll never happen, but that's what he basically said. I'm like, oh, okay.
So. You might be surprised.
Hey, why not? Superman's on TV, so.
Now, since I am a little back behind on Joker, is this Jerome or Jerome's brother?
It's Jerome's brother.
Okay. When I was looking at the face and the cheeks, I was like, okay, that looks like Jerome or Jerome's brother, because I know Jerome died, but I didn't know the way he was melty. If that was Jerome coming back, making
the story is so stupid. I'm sorry.
Is it? Oh, okay.
Like, it's just to me. I mean, spoilers if you haven't seen it yet, but I'm gonna spoil it right now.
Oh, there's a video.
He has a brother, Jeremiah, who's his exact twin brother, who was the same brother, and then I think Jerome dies. And then he leaves him a gift, a parting gift, and he opens it, and basically it's the laugh gas, and he gets poisoned, and now but he was more intelligent than Jerome, so he's insane, but he's intelligent. So that's how he became the Joker. So
I remember the episode. I'm like, okay. I think I remember the episode where Jerome died.
Yeah.
Got shot in like the head or something, I think.
Yeah, and then he fell off a building, very 89 Batman. Oh,
okay. Well, they're doing little nods. So
they're doing nods. They've always done nods throughout the series of Gotham. So I'm cool with it, but it's the last season. So, but to get back to the original point, does look cool, does look creepy.
Yep.
And 2 weeks, end of Gotham. Did you ever think Gotham would make 5 seasons? Because
I kind of did. I did. I thought they'd go for a while. I didn't see them ever going to the Cape and Cowl. I thought it would be like they were trying to do originally, was a Smallville version of the Batman, to where you didn't get that moment until the very like last 2 minutes of the movie, of the show.
10 seasons for basically 2 minutes. When he's in the,
And that's still probably one of my all time favorite episodes of that was when he did grab that, get into the costume finally, and he flies across Metropolis and pushes off, Doomsday's planet.
or yeah, whatever it was. I forgot what it was. It was weird. I think it was supposed to be Darkseid.
Darkseid. Who did I say? Doomsday? Sorry, yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah, Darkseid.
Doomsday was that series, too. I think it was season 7.
Yeah, that was horrible.
Sam Witwer. He was Doomsday. I remember that.
Yep.
Good stuff.
All right, so what do you got next, sir?
I got a series that I'm looking forward to that dropped their first trailer. Lucifer season 4 on Netflix.
There it is. Yep.
Yes,
that was on my list, too.
It was on my list. I saw it. Basically, it's the cast, the person who's going to play Eve, and the cop, and Lucifer there basically saying if the series is going to change while going on Netflix. He's not. And you see Tom walk away and just throw his robe off with the Netflix logo. I mean, if you women want to see that, you know, you can gook and gawk and all that stuff. But I can't wait. 10 episodes, which to me is going to be, from what I've been reading, it's going to get a lot darker, which I can't wait. I mean, my hope is it can be the Lucifer like it was in the Vertigo series, which I have a couple issues, by the way. And if we ever do pull list, I'll have to recommend. Really good so far, if you get a chance to read the new one of Lucifer. But I can't wait. I can't wait. I've loved this show since the beginning. I think Tom makes the show. He's not the Lucifer of the comics. Very different, but for this iteration, I really get a kick out of it. What do you think?
I've like loved every episode I've been able to watch. I haven't been able to keep up with it, job and everything, because when it first came roll out, I was working nights, so I was missing a bunch of it. But now that it's come into Netflix, and now especially when it's being picked up, that is my next one to do after I finish The Order, is to start picking up on Lucifer, because I'd like to be able to finish it up and pick it up like right when it starts off, you know, right when the Netflix, you know, does its drop.
Gotcha.
For the new episode. But it's something I you and I had talked about before a few episodes ago, was I'm hoping they go darker so that they can bring in, because you were saying, you know, something about doing Sandman, and if they can go darker and grittier, there's that chance to get a taste of the Sandman on the dark side and then introduce the Sandman in his own series and then go completely twisted to follow that.
Man, I hope they go there. I've always thought of what's the director's name? He did Dune. I can't think of him. Not David Leitch. Who am I thinking of?
Oh,
David
Lynch.
David Lynch.
Oh, okay. You were close.
David Leitch.
Leitchy bastard.
Damn bastard over here doing a damn Sandman series. No, I think he'd be perfect to do Sandman. That's right up his alley. I mean, if you ever seen a movie like Blue Velvet, which is a freaking twisted movie, that Sandman is just so him. I mean, Jesus, give me that.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm a huge David Lynch fan. Probably one of my favorite ones from him was The Lost Highway. I mean, great.
Oh, great movie. A great soundtrack, too, by the way.
Yeah.
If you haven't got a chance, listen to the soundtrack. Yeah. There's a David Bowie song on there.
Get David Bowie. I mean, you got
Nine Inch Nails, I think, had a song on there. That was when soundtracks used to be cool, kids,
yes,
back in the day.
Exactly.
Nowadays, they suck. I'm sorry.
What?
I'm sorry.
What'd you just say?
I'm sorry.
Did we just have this talk a while ago?
Yeah, they suck.
So, but yeah, no, I definitely could see I could definitely see a Lynch or somebody in Lynch's, you know, wheelhouse of style to do that. I don't know if Lynch would jump, you know, drop down to do a show again. I think the last one he did was it Twin Peaks? I think was the last one he did.
God, you know what? I know we're not going to get out of Twin Peaks tangent, but my God, if the newer ones that he did,
yeah.
I mean, the older ones were good, and I always thought they were ahead of their time, but the newer ones, phenomenal. Just as freaky.
Yeah, I never got into them.
Just as twisted. Oh, man.
I mean, I got into the original. I got into the original series. I just didn't want to go back. I didn't want my memory of it to be tainted. It happened with me for X-Files. We've talked about me being an X-Files fan, but when they came back out and did that little 10-episode run,
you didn't like it? I thought
it was okay, but they were trying to recapture, which, you know, every show does that when they try to come back, they try to recapture it, but it didn't feel organic. It felt forced, and I can feel that when I'm watching something that I know the actors want to be there. It's just that magic's gone. It's that capturing lightning in a bottle, you know, theory. You just can't do it. The time and the place for X-Files and for a show like Millennium was the pre-millennia, when everybody was on edge. Everybody had the Y2K in their head, and you know, is it the end? But, you know, the 90s were a darker time in our culture for that reason, because of the millennium, you know, coming up. And you can't recapture that darkness and that tone.
No.
And everything now. And that's where they were trying to do it, and I give them full credit. Nice try. They just didn't make it. And that's why when Twin Peaks came back out, I was like, I got my Twin Peaks. I've had my moment. I don't want to. I like where we were. Our relationship was good.
But I'll tell you what, you should give it a shot when you get a chance. I mean, whenever you get a shot and you're done with
all your series. Are you trying to ruin my childhood again? What?
I'm trying to enlighten you. Like, I always try to enlighten you to many things. Like, it's like I've enlightened you to many movies and shows, but as you have me. So when you get a chance, I'm just saying.
All right.
You should just give it a shot. At least give it the old Hero Asylum 5-episode run. And then,
yeah, we will. Yeah, yeah.
After that, you give it a shot.
Yeah, just so you know, guys, yeah, we do have a rule for us. If anybody suggests a show or we try a show, and we will here, you know, especially when the seasons start back up again for new shows coming out, we give a five episode go.
Five count.
You got 5 episodes to catch us. And honestly, with some of the shorter seasons that are on the streaming services, we're giving you half a season to lock us in.
Yeah.
So
if you give us 5 and in, or 5 out.
Yep. Yeah, it's kind of how it is. I've heard some other people like, no, they 2 or 3. And I'm like, nah, 2 or 3. You're introducing certain things. The Order, I've just got done with, almost done with The Order. You really, if you just did 2 or 3, they just introduced 3 because there's the humans, witches, and werewolves in The Order. I'm not giving anything away, so don't worry. But those are 3 episodes. The first episode is the human world. The second one is the witch world. The third one is the werewolf world. You've just been introduced to the worlds. You've got nothing more than. So you would need 2 more for The Order to really step in the deep end.
Yeah, and to piggyback off of that, a series that I loved, I don't know if you loved or maybe you did, was Fringe. And Fringe, I, the first 3 episodes, I was like, what the hell is this? What's going on? And I'm like, I was about to bow out after episode 3, but then 4 caught me, then 5, and then we were off running. So,
yeah,
pretty much that's why we do the 5 and out rule. So if you ever get a chance to recommend series to us,
that's what we'll do.
It's always going to be the 5 and out. Mike, what else you got in the missions ward?
All right. Let me get out of here. I had the Lucifer up here, so I have. Let's see which one we want to go with. Well, actually, I think you brought this up earlier this week. And it's something you said you weren't sure that you didn't believe it was going to happen. But Captain Marvel passes $1 billion at worldwide box office.
It's insane.
I can see it happening. I mean, it is what, on its month run now? So I can definitely see that, getting the nod. Shattered its commercial expectations and passed the 6th highest global opening of all time, with a whopping $455 million just for the opening weekend. So, I mean, that's its footprint, just stepping out and going, hey, I'm here, is just starting off with $455 million. That's a big footprint to do,
For a character who has never been seen on screen.
No, yeah.
Basically her origin film opening. First time you get to see Captain Marvel, boom, $1 billion out of the box. I'm sure the Marvel Cinematic Universe helped it out a little bit, just a little tease here and there. But
it was. And everybody that's been already hooked to the Marvel world went there and said, we're like, I have to watch this because I've already, dedicated a decade into this character. You and I have never had a proper review of the movie.
Maybe in a couple weeks.
Yeah, well, just a little bit of one, just from my standpoint. I looked at it, on point with kind of a Captain America Civil War kind of feel. It's something you don't really need to see to continue into the Marvel or into the, MCU. It was nice. It was some fun nostalgia, a little nuggets here and there, but really in the long run, not needed. Iron Man 2, I could probably put it, or no, sorry, Iron Man 3. I'd put it between Iron Man 2 and 3. Just, it's there, it's fun, but I just don't see a need for it.
I liked Iron Man 3, by the way, even though it was kind of wacky and weird.
I liked it. I'm not saying it's...
I know, but I like the vibe. I mean, I'm with you. It's a different vibe. It's almost like that Winter Soldier type of vibe.
Yeah.
You're right.
It's a good movie by itself, but when you present it with the rest of what has come out from MCU...
Yeah, it's a little...
It's still good, just not on par with everything else.
No, no. It's still good, though. I mean, I would recommend anybody go see it.
Right, yeah, definitely. And it's because it's so close to Avengers, a few people are like, you know, I really need to see that before I go see Avengers. I'm like,
I think you do.
Yes,
I think you do.
No, kind of. I mean, you can kind of catch a lot of that on YouTube now with you know, checking the trailer footage. And that's, to me, that's really, I think, the only thing you need to see.
Basically, just an intro to her and how powerful she is. And, you know, spoiler, she is pretty powerful. So, you know, it's just saying. But, you know, if you get a chance to go watch it, watch it. If you don't, then don't. You know, it's up to you. But
definitely still a fun movie. I definitely
still fun. Yeah.
I really, when I watched it, I felt like I was watching like three different movies, because he had like kind of the origin sci-fi feel, and then you had kind of like the detective-y thing in the middle when, you know, she's hanging out, you know, made it to Earth, and then the final confrontation, big superhero movie. It was like there was three little mini movies all taking place within it.
And you had the origin story thrown in there, so.
Well, that's what I mean. You have your origin story with her in the first part, and then the rest. The origin story's throughout it, but I mean, just like your styles of movies. You had the sci-fi at the very beginning. Now she's in Earth. Now she's doing the detective side, but still trying to figure herself out.
Which, I'll tell you what, there is one thing I did dig about the movie, and it is very spoilery, so I'm not going to get into it. But I will say there is, to quote another movie in the MCU, I didn't see that coming. I think you probably know what that is, Mike.
What, Coulson's goatee?
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Mullet, man. Yeah, of course. I mean, you can't believe it. He's wearing a freaking Misfits shirt, long hair. I mean,
I didn't see that coming.
That scene when he's in CBGB's, incredible. Check that out on the Blu-ray extras.
Oh, yeah.
But there was something that particularly happened that I really didn't see coming, which I kind of dug. So when you get a chance and you see it, like, you'll know what it is, because basically the trailers present things one way, and when you watch the movie, it's completely different.
Yeah,
so
no.
I'll just leave it.
I know what you're meaning. Okay. Yeah, there was a slight twist in there that we thought
a little twisty.
Thought something was going one way and it went the other way, which is fine. That's what keeps you coming back for movies.
Yeah, that's what keeps you coming back here at the Heroes Asylum. Oh, you know, just you know, Twitter, Instagram, and iTunes, Spotify, and Stitcher. Did I get it right this time, by the way?
Yeah, you did pretty good. Yeah.
Thanks, appreciate it.
all right, so what do you got? What's your next one?
I got one that actually I'm gonna steal from you.
Oh, you're stealing? How do you know? Yeah. How do you know you're stealing? Because we, folks, we went in this one blind. We both said we're both coming in with info, and we don't know what each other has. It's kind of like playing Go Fish.
Yeah, usually we have notes printed out, but it's been a long weekend.
It has.
It's
been a long weekend, and it's just been a busy week for news too. That's why I was.
Yeah.
That's why I was like, we don't need to talk. You just grab what pulls in for you, and I'll grab what pulls in for me, and we'll probably have some of the same. But I think we might also have a few different nuggets out there. So, but let's see what you got.
This one I have, and this is probably not a hot topic, but I think a topic that I'd like to hear from you is former X-Men star James Marsden. He is open to play Cyclops in the MCU.
No, nope. I don't feel it. I think he had his moments. I felt he was too stiff, and I'm not going to blame just him, but I think it was also the writing on it. X-Men, the first one, was definitely geared more towards a Wolverine style story. They looked in the, you know, the comic books and what was current, and then in the cartoons, Wolverine was the shit. He was the man. He was, and really in the outside world, when people thought of X-Men, they thought of Wolverine. Mm-hmm. So when they were fleshing out those characters, the other ones were sort of side characters, and they just didn't capture Cyclops. Cyclops is not this whiny, you know, little wimp that he was portrayed as. He really was. I mean, yes, he showed his leadership side, but you really delve into the Cyclops in comic books, he's rough.
He's a badass too.
Yeah, I mean, he don't.
He's a bad, and they depowered him.
Yeah,
for the movies,
amazing.
By the way. I mean, his laser beams can basically rip a mountain in half.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. He very like wussified is the best way I can put it. I don't have any other words for it.
You're being very generous.
well, it's, you know, it's a Sunday show. We don't you know, it's Lord's Day. We don't want to upset anybody yet. We don't want to get visited by an orange eyed demon. So, but I just feel. Like I said, his character was very weak in the first one. Somebody said, oh, well, you know, the sequels, you know, they kind of fleshed him out a little bit more. No, he was weaker in the second one.
He got weaker as the movies went along. Who said that?
Somebody online that made a comment
about
that.
I want to know who they are. Please get contact me. I really want to know how you think his character got better. Because
Worse. And I mean, like I said, like I was saying before, if you look really look at what he does in the comic books, his characters, like you were saying, he's just a badass. There's one point, I think it was not that long ago, that he ended up taking on the Phoenix Force himself.
Actually, I think he became one of the
became the Phoenix. He was a group of five or six people that basically they took the Phoenix Force and divided it up between them, and then they almost went Highlander, you know, and started as each one died, or more of a reference, I guess, to the One movie, where, you know, as one dies, the others absorb the power until there's only one. And he became that only one, but he became just brutal and just killing people, and it just, that is Cyclops.
Maybe in the MCU he'll get his love, but I'm hoping. I don't want to see James Marsden. I think he had his time.
No, I do. Yeah, so we can find somebody, and I'm not, don't want to say better, but we can find somebody that fits more this universe. This MCU is a rough and tough universe. They're gonna need somebody a little bit rougher out there. He fit in the 90s.
Let me ask you a question. Play devil's advocate. I mean, we know X-Men is in the MCU right now. I mean, not any kind of active development as far as the movie goes. But what kind of X-Men do you want to see? I mean, because Fox had like the two iterations. You had the young X-Men, which they have kind of now, and then you had the older X-Men. Which one do you want? Do you want like a mixture of both? Do you want like, you know, the old school classic X-Men where they're already pretty much established, or do you want like yet another origin story?
Unfortunately, you're going to have to do an origin story because the MCU is so established already. You're just going to have to do that. It all depends on what goes on here with this movie. Are they doing, you know, with the Avengers Endgame? Are they doing a twist? Are they going back in time? Are they changing something that causes the something you and I had talked that something. If they go back in time, you know, and Scott Lang does something, you know, on the molecular level when they go back to change and cause mutation, or because you have the history. It's not just the mutations all of a sudden popped up. The mutations have been there forever. You have Apocalypse. You have, you know, Mr. Sinister, who was back in the, you know, the 1800s. So you have mutations throughout history. So you... Or are they just ignored and just been kept secret until all of a sudden, boom, out of nowhere, they show up? Or are they really still there? That's the only problem. I think they kind of, MCU kind of painted themselves into a corner to not have mutants. I understand that when they were writing it, they didn't have the rights to it. But I think they could have kind of kept a little shadowy thing going on in the background, never referring to it as mutation. But having something going on in the background of, hey, there are other things out there that we don't know about.
You know what you could do, though, to rectify that? I was just thinking about it, and you basically gave me the answer. If they do go to the quantum realm, like, apparently that's going to happen, and apparently time travel is going to be involved in Endgame.
Well, we still don't know that yet.
I know. I'm just saying. I'm just speculating. But if it is, and let's just say, you know, they somehow reverse to snap. Okay.
Right.
Nothing is going to go back the way it was.
No.
What's to say that when they reverse the snap, that mutation isn't one part of that thing that's like the newer thing created in this new timeline?
Well, it could be, but that's what I was saying. You can do that, but you're going to take out and cut the knees off of technically of a lot of history. You have such a thick history of, again, you're going to take Apocalypse out of the equation at that point. You're going to take Mr. Sinister out of the equation at that point, because these things were created thousands of years ago. You're going to say, okay, now all of a sudden we have people that pop up that have mutations. That's fine, but you lose your storyline in your mass history.
Captain, and one thing we always say, Kevin Feige, we trust. So I trust Kevin Feige. If you can make an Ant-Man into a good movie, if you can make Guardians of the Galaxy into a good movie, then you know what? He can find a way to fit the X-Men in here. That makes sense.
It will make sense.
It'll make sense.
Even if they went the way you went, it'll still make sense. You're just going to lose that ability.
Yeah, but you know what? With him, he's a super nerd too. He'll find a way. I mean, I would agree. They have a lot of lore, a lot of history, and you want to go and you want to explore that. But there's like the Fantastic Four. you know what you could do with them too? That they were trapped in the quantum realm. There's a lot of things you could do. And, you know, hey, you know, these guys were fighting Dr. Doom in the 60s and they've been locked in there ever since.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, true. You know, there's a lot of things you could do.
You could. So, I mean, you could have, you could do something with that. I just, and that's another one. That's a sore subject with me. And I will get a shit ton of email right now about this, but they need to never make a Fantastic Four movie. They have attempted it a few times. Well, I won't say anything about the first time. That was a colossal mess that was getting messed up by certain people on purpose. But the Fantastic Four, I don't believe could really work in a film style. I don't think it translates well into a film. I really
don't
think so? No. I just don't see it translating over that well. They're too, I know they're the family and everything. I think it's just too much familyness in it. It's, I've just seen the two iterations of it, and it's tanked. And it's, I don't think it's so much story. I think it's just what they are doesn't translate well. And again, I understand I'm going to get tons of hate mail on that one. There are so many people out there that are just screaming, picketing for a Fantastic Four movie. And I'd love to see it done well. I just don't think it can be done well. And
it's already been done well twice. The Incredibles.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's your Fantastic Four movie.
It is technically, but it's
technically,
I think that's the way it should go. If they're going to do an animated style or something, do Fantastic Four like they did with Spider-Man, into the Spider-Verse. I just don't think it works in a live action.
I want to give it another shot. Like I said, if they do it the way I kind of like said to you, I mean, they don't have to unless they want to pay.
Well, that's fine on how they would introduce it, but it's how they handle them. You can introduce them however you want and make sense out of it. That's great. You can do all that. How do you handle the characters and their backstories? And that's what I find that doesn't come off well.
I could tell you how. I could tell you how right now. Do you remember the Incredible Hulk?
Which one?
I said Ken Norton. He's a football player. Ed Norton.
Yes, okay.
The Ed Norton Hulk, that's actually the second movie in the MCU history.
Right,
a movie that people seem to forget about, which I think is really good, by the way. People should revisit that movie. Do you remember the opening of that movie, by chance?
Not off the top of my head.
Okay. If you've never seen this movie, basically, if you've never seen an Incredible Hulk movie in your entire life, and you want to know the origin story is told in the beginning credits. Basically, like the first 5 minutes tells the entire origin story of the Hulk.
Oh, yeah.
Right then and there. And it's like little quick scenes, like here and there.
Right.
Gamma radiation.
Yeah.
You see him going into the machine. You see Betty Ross. You see Thunderbolt Ross. And then, like, the change. And, like, he destroys the lab. And it's little quick scenes like that.
Right.
Snip, 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 snip. Guess what? Origin out of the way. And boom, he's wherever country he's like hiding out, and then they start the movie just like that.
Well, again,
you could do a Fantastic Four movie just like that.
Like I was saying, I don't. There's not about them introducing them to the world. They can do that. The introduction is easy. It's the story of them themselves. After you show them doing their little quick, you know, hey, this is where they were. They were stuck in the quantum realm, or whatever, and they're now here. Their story isn't great. It doesn't come across. The relationships between everybody. I just don't see them being able to produce a well-written Fantastic Four movie. It's not about how you introduce them. Introduce them however you want. That's great.
I think they can do it.
I just in both versions, and then, well, you can even throw the third one out there. I just don't think they work in a cinematic world. There are certain things that do need to stay in the comic book realm, you know, and that's I do believe that's one of them.
Did you ever think a movie like Ant-Man's going to work?
I think
Ant-Man
yeah.
and the Wasp
oh, yeah.
was going to work.
Ant-Man, definitely.
Really? Yeah. So you think the Fantastic Four, which is Marvel's first family,
yes.
can't work under Kevin Feige?
I just don't think it's not about who's running it. It's about
I think it is who's running it.
Yes,
it is. You think you're wrong? Because look how Fox fumbled and bumbled the Fantastic Four for years. They had basically three shots. The first two Tim Story movies were basically idiotic comedies. The third one, they made the biggest mistake in the world by trying to make it dark and gritty. Fantastic Four is not dark and gritty.
Right.
You got to make that vibe of The Incredibles where it's like the fun vibe with the family. But on the second side, they're scientists. You know, they're explorers. They go to space. They're discovering new things.
Yeah,
I think there's a way to do that. I mean, I always think, like, hey, Fantastic Four, you know, we've always talked about this. I think one of our first podcasts, we try to make movies that are similar to other movies. Think of like an Interstellar type of Fantastic Four movie. Shit, that's a good idea. Or like a Chris Nolan. Yeah, I got to give myself credit. Think of Chris Nolan doing Fantastic Four.
It's not about who does it. It's about them.
It's their central story.
It works great on the Incredible style. It just doesn't. I don't think it'll translate well.
I think if you get Feige doing it, I think it's going to be good. At least serviceable. It's got a long way to go to resuscitate it, but you know what? If you can just, you know, maybe throw a little cameo here and there. Hey, it's Reed Richards helping us out getting these suits.
Resuscitating him is not the problem. Like I'm telling you, it's not about how you reintroduce them. Reintroduce them however you want. Say, hey, you know, Tony sold, you know, the Avengers Tower to Reed Richards, or he helped create this or that. It's once they are introduced, their story after their introduction, I just don't think will hold up in today's cinematic world. The family vibe, the scientists and traveling, I just don't think there's a place for them right now. I really don't. The Incredibles, it's fun, it's animated. They can get away with that because you're taking your kids and you know, to this, and it's a family movie, so you're going to want that family vibe. I just don't think that family vibe works in the MCU.
I think you got to give him a chance.
I'll give him a chance. I just, my opinion, just letting that out there.
Okay. Well, I think you're wrong, but it's okay. Orange Eye Demon.
Orange Eye Demon.
Demon, yes, sir.
All right, so next one. Let's see what we got here. Oh, we're down to these two. Now, these two can almost kind of go in back to back.
Well, it depends what you have.
I'll leave that one for you because I'm pretty sure you're dropping that one. All right.
Might be.
Young Justice. They are starting to do Young Justice, Outsiders to Return. That one is coming out May 31st.
You sure? I thought it was July.
Oh, no. Sorry. The other one. Yeah. Sorry. July 2nd is when that one comes out. The Swamp Thing got its streaming service announcement May 31st, Friday. So we're all looking forward to that. It looks like it's, you know, there's the way they're starting it out is it's an adaptation of it. A series will be produced by James Wan, Atomic Monsters. He was with Underworld. Helmer, Len Weissman, they're directing the pilot. And basically so much right now, it's much of which will show the center around Abby Arcane, who will be portrayed by a Teen Wolf actress. I never did get a chance to see any of the Teen Wolf stuff. I wasn't sure how that would work, and I'm not a teen.
You know what? I'll tell you what. I'm going to admit something here. I actually seen all the Teen Wolf series.
Okay. How are they?
It's good. It's dark. Very, very. It's not what you think. I mean, there is some moments where it has, like, you know, the CW romance and all that.
Yeah, I just don't want to see the
lovey-dovey
yeah,
garbage. But if you could ignore that, the stories are actually really good. Really, really good. And it's just, there's no vampires, by the way, in it. Spoilers.
Well,
but they go
Wolf.
Into my. Yeah.
Do they at least do a van surfing?
No, there's no van surfing.
No, that's not Teen Wolf. Sorry,
it's darker.
Yeah. You can't van surf and be at dark at the same time?
Nope.
God.
You have to be emo and all depressed, you know, and listening to My Chemical Romance. So that's. That's basically how the emo way goes. Sorry if I offended anybody, My Chemical Romance fans, but that's just my feel. But yeah, by the way, I am looking forward to it. You know that me and you are big Swamp Thing fans.
Oh, Swamp Thing. Okay, sorry.
Oof. I can't wait. I cannot wait. I think it's one of my most anticipated this year.
That is, yeah. I'm really, really interested to see where they go, how they do it, how it looks. I don't have any worries about how they look.
I think it'll be fine.
I just want to know which story. I mean, I do know that they're going with they're having Alec Holland on there as a Swamp Thing, so I know they're going with that feel. And they are using Alan Moore's plot.
Thank God.
To go with that. The writer, Gary Doberman, promised that the series will be dark, violent, and mature rated.
Right up my alley.
Yeah, and they're stating they were taking their cues from Alan Moore's seminal run of the title. So that's what I'm really looking forward to. This something.
You know what, Mike? Speaking of that, you said Alan Moore, which is one of my favorites, by the way. You should get Alan Moore's autobiography and get one of his books on a warlock witchcraft because he thinks he's a warlock nowadays. Check that out. But I want to make a bet with you, Mike. And this is a bet that I think for me makes sense and you make sense, but you are probably going to disagree, but I'm not. Over under, Constantine shows up in Swamp Thing. I'm going to say
70%. Will. Oh, yeah, no. I'm going 90 on that one, dude.
And do you think it's going to be Matt Ryan?
Should be. That's the one thing. I don't know if it will, but it should be. It really should be.
It's, just wondering.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's still out there. He still wants to play the character. And it's, again, it's you and I, we both do like the magical side. You know, I'm a big fan of Justice League Dark. That I think they need to grow on, and they could, if they're going dark, like they were, the verbiage on this for that movie or for this show was it was going to be more mature, you know, taking on a darker tone, dark, violent, and mature rated. This is your complete introduction to the darker side of, you know, the DC universe. Bring in Constantine. Let him be truly Constantine. He was Constantine. He was just Constantine with a restrictor on. Pull the restrictor off. Let him run.
You know, we had a conversation, I think it's going on probably a couple months ago. Basically, we were trying to build the DC magical universe.
Yeah.
And I think I ran it down by you, and you thought it was fantastic. I mean, you added some things, too, that made it really good. But I hope this happens. I hope our version happens, which I think would make a lot of sense, but this is the intro to the DC universe that I want, you know, because I think it's part of the DC universe they haven't even tapped yet. Like I've always told you, I think that DC is holding a bag of gold and they don't know how to use it yet. And this is one of their gold pieces that they could just basically build a whole universe on their own of, which is insane. So.
Well, definitely. I mean, if they are really, truly taking their cues from Alan Moore, it was his series that did introduce Constantine into the DC world. So why not just you've already got your blueprints, the roadmap to open up the world from within just the Alan Moore's run. Just follow the roadmap. It's gonna take you.
That's all. And that's
it's gonna take you on a great trip.
Just literally follow that roadmap.
Yep.
And you'll be perfect.
And you introduce Constantine. You introduce Etrigan. You start introducing Katana.
Deadman. You can do Deadman.
Everybody.
You can do,
Deadman. I mean, you can just bring in everybody. Spectre. you can just now say, you know what?
We've got a horror run. Gentleman Ghost.
Oh yeah, definitely. but you now have your if they're going with what they're saying, the dark, violent, mature, you now have a horror line for DC that you can just keep coming out with. Movies and TV shows on the streaming service, and then branch out to do more horror based things on the big screen every once in a while. You know, take those characters and have, instead of doing like they've been doing on a CW where they're doing these crossover ones, have it to where the crossovers are actually movies and they get released into the big screen.
It's gonna happen. I think it'll be more like a Netflix movie, but.
That's fine. Do that as well.
I hope. That's.
But you have the roadmap sitting in front of you to introduce one of the coolest parts of the DC world that most people don't know and they take for granted that it's not all capes, cowls, and you know superhero justice. There's a darker side to DC. When he's sitting there fighting he's fighting Cable. He's like, "Man, you're dark. Yeah. Are you from the DC?" I'm like, "You have no idea what dark is if you delve further in.
No idea, man. And I'm not even talking about the DC main line. I'm talking about also their off brands like Vertigo.
Well, yeah, definitely.
Those are beyond.
Well, that's where
those
your Lucifer, like... you know, your Netflix Lucifer comes in. That's why I was almost surprised that Netflix, because right when we heard Lucifer was getting canceled and it was before Netflix picked it up, I was like, "Man, DC needs to grab this right now. It's a self-made TV show with a self-made fan base. Grab it." But then I saw Netflix picked it up. I was like, "Never mind. That's just as good. Let it stay separate, but they can still do it."
Yes, sir.
All right. So I've got that one, and yeah, like I said, yeah, Young Justice coming out in July 2nd, and then the week before, you have a Swamp Thing dropping. So if anybody out there has not picked up their DC streaming service, get it, guys. It is so worth it. The back catalog of movies, TV shows, the new stuff they're coming out with the Titans, the Young Justice, and everything we've just mentioned that's getting ready to drop now. It's just amazing. And then not only that, but you have your back catalog of comic books as well, and it's great. You can on a tablet, on your phone, on a TV screen. You know, it's crazy.
Are you trying to sell the DC after these?
It
people?
Is, man. It's great. It's
no, you're right.
It
you're
is.
Right.
It's really good, especially if you're. I wish Marvel would eventually come out with this, and they would just, you know, these two would go at it again, but just on the digital field. That Marvel
like
doesn't
the competition.
Have.
I wish. I mean, people always get mad about the Marvel DC competition. I always like it when it's friendly competition.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, not to the point where it gets like the angry fanboys. Oh, that's not the way it was in the comics, and you're doing this wrong. I'm like, I hate the fanboys like that because they're not open minded. I think because you know everything is interpreted. You know, adaptation is always going
to
be different.
Yes, we are open minded. I just like certain things to be the way that I like them. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, some things.
You're talking about me part of the time.
Well, you're an old man. That's your problem. But.
So
that's
that,
a different story.
So yeah, so we've got so that's what's coming out. But yeah, no, I mean you still have the DC and Disney coming out, so there is that Marvel streaming side of it. I just don't think DC is going to take it to the extreme of what DC's done.
No, not yet.
So all right, sir. So what do you have on your next one?
Well, I don't know if you have this one, but you know Matt Reeves, who's like my favorite right now. If you ever watch Planet of the Apes, great series by the way. But he is doing the Batman. As everybody knows, hasn't chosen an actor yet.
No.
But if you've read our page, apparently there's some suggestions.
Oh, yes. We have
recently that was posted that I do not like at all.
Oh.
And I hope that never happens. But Matt Reeves has teased the new bat symbol on his – basically it was a little thing that I think he posted on Instagram or Twitter. I forgot. It's basically the script, and he was basically saying, happy birthday, Batman, 80 years. And to the side, you can see the script of the Batman that he's working on, and you can see the symbol, which is an older school symbol, kind of the Fat Bat logo, very similar to the Frank Miller one.
Very similar also to the Adam West one. If you really look at it, it's got that wideness of Adam West, too.
Yeah, very Adam Westy. So
we don't know which way he's going.
I don't know which way he's going. I don't want to see a purple cowl, but, you know, hey.
It's the 2010s, you know. You never know. Getting ready to be 2020.
We're
getting ready to jump into the roaring 20s here, man. You got to be open about these things.
No, I am open. I don't mind it. I mean, I've always been a fan of Frank Miller, as you know. The Bat symbol, that version of Batman is my favorite.
No, I was talking about the pink cowl.
You want to bring that? That's up to you.
Yeah, I was just saying you weren't open to it. I was like, hey, you're getting ready to jump into the roaring 20s. You got to be prepared and open-minded.
Oh, the orange-eyed demon himself has emerged. So we're sorry about that, kids. But I was kind of hoping for the rebirth symbol, but you know, this is not bad, I guess. You know,
it's very reminiscent of even – I was watching Suicide Squad the other day. And it was right about the time this one dropped. And I was like, you know, that's not that far off from even the symbol that Ben was wearing.
It's pretty close.
And it's supposed to take place still within this universe, from my understanding. I haven't heard anything to the contrary. So I was like, well, if this is going with a younger version of that Batman, then I can kind of see it being similar to that symbol.
Yeah. I mean, I dig the symbol because, like you said, it's very Frank Miller-esque and actually very 60s-esque as well. But
so I was saying, I think it looks a little bit like Adam West a little bit. Just imagine it purple. It's purple and saying Batman.
I'm looking at it right now. I'm like, man, he's right. It does look very Adam West.
Well, that's why when I first opened this up, I thought the picture I was looking at was just somebody threw on a stock thing of Batman. I was like, oh, I have to actually open up the article to view. And then when I opened it, I'm like, oh, that's the same symbol. Okay, what are they doing then?
Now, Mike, we have the symbol. Apparently, we have a finished script. So let me ask you this, just basically a question. When do you think we're going to have an announcement of the guy who's actually going to put the cape and cowl on?
I think you and I were talking about it. I think you were – I think you're right with
Comic-Con?
San Diego. Yeah, San Diego is going to be the drop. Okay. Because you really don't have much going on. I know we have a Orlando MegaCon, which is one of the bigger ones as well.
We'll be there, by the way.
Yes, we will.
We'll be there. We will be there. That's the one con that I actually can go to.
Yeah, and that one it's huge. I mean, this one is, I'm not saying about the size of the con, but this con, there are, I mean, the people that are coming to this one's ridiculous.
Oh, my. It's a who's who.
Yeah, right now you're having a Back to the Future, Back to the Future reunion. You have... shoot, Stephen Amell is coming in. You have Jason Momoa is going to be there. I mean, it just the list is every day when they announce, okay, hey, tickets are on sale, and then every week after that was I just every time I open up my email, chick-ching, just
it's like might, somebody else new is showing up every single day.
Yep. That was just the actors. They hadn't even gotten into the artist yet. So I don't think it's going to be our Comic-Con or MegaCon here because we don't have a big DC footprint for the Bat. I think we have a few voice actors and a few artists, but I think that's going to be to San Diego.
Yeah, well, you never know. Hopefully.
Definitely. And there are a few people out there. I like, so far, the two that I've seen running around, I like them both. I'd be happy with either one. I think the one I mentioned earlier, I think would be better for the age group that he wants to go.
No.
I mean, they want to go into the 90s, and that's the one I want.
No.
Yep.
No. I'm sorry. I'm just sorry. It's just my opinion. Like I said, I can think of 20 other people besides him. I'm just saying.
I think he'd be fine.
Know what you're. No. Look, I'm going to defend your point in a way. I understand you want to go with the younger guy. He is young. He's got the build. I get that. But the acting chops. No, sorry.
Well, it's, you know, he's got to give him a shot there.
Just, no.
See what he can do.
No. Sorry. It's not going to happen.
All right, so we have
Mike,
Matt
what
Reeves.
Else you have?
Final one. What? How many more do you have?
That was it for me. I was
that's
hoping
it?
You were going to end. Yeah,
that's it. Wow.
Yeah, I was kind
okay.
of at a loss for sorry.
Drum roll here, folks. I'm gonna drop one, and yeah, this one was way back last Tuesday. This one dropped. We're going back to DC, folks. DC Online streaming service. We've been talking about Doom Patrol and Swamp Thing dropping, and we did mention Titans. Titans season 2 is coming out, and Jason Todd, actor, has been promoted to series regular.
Kerwin Walters,
yes, sir. So he will not only be cameo anymore; he is now part of the series, so we were going to see a lot more of him, and it makes me wonder what are they planning? They're still working. We still haven't seen Nightwing yet.
I'll tell you what. I'm going to tell you something that I think I told you, or maybe I didn't tell you. I think they're going to do the Red Hood storyline, but with a twist. In this series, I can see it happening because if they're bringing him back, that means number one, they like him. Number two, the fan reaction was positive. And number three, we've seen DC storylines on television or on the movies. They've been, let's say, altered slightly from the original form. Even in Supergirl right now, if you're watching Supergirl, they're doing a version of the Red Sun with Red Daughter, which has actually been pretty good this season, by the way. Check it out. But I can see Red Hood showing up. Maybe not this season, maybe not next season, but like you were saying, like a season 5.
I'm thinking season 5. Let Dick get his Nightwing costume on. Let him become the mentor that I think because Bruce is, kind of he's there. He's letting Jason Todd do his thing. And I think Jason's the bouncing point. That's why I don't think we'll ever really see Batman, so to speak.
No, you won't. I was wrong.
He's going to be the voice of, Jason will be the voice of him. And I think what's going to happen eventually, he will die. And I think the darker side of Dick Grayson will come out again to do the avenging. We'd go after it.
I agree.
They're also introducing the Children of Deathstroke on this one. You have Rose Wilson coming in, Ravager, Joseph Wilson, aka Jericho. They are coming in, so that should be an added one.
Slade showing up too.
Slade will be there.
That's insane. Wow.
And then, guys, we're almost to the end of it. You're past your time if you haven't seen it yet. But the very end of it, they had introduced Superboy, basically. We don't know what his name is yet or who he's going, exactly, what he's going to be doing. But they did introduce a Superboy a la, cloning from what it looked like and a crypto. So
something that I never expected.
No.
And I texted my co-host that night basically saying, you have to watch the season finale of Titans. And you were basically saying, no, I'm not home yet. Don't say anything.
Yeah,
and basically my excitement the next morning was revealed in the same text message that I sent him saying, hey, oh my God, did you see? I'm like, yes, I see.
Yep. And our trusty, trusty companion, magic worker in the background. Yeah, Cindy. I had to keep we had to keep our mouth shut for her because it took her a little bit to catch up. But finally, she did. So we're like, ah, yes, one more person we can talk to.
Yeah.
But so I mean, it looks like that show is definitely taking some big leaps. Again, you had to have Deathstroke eventually, if they really were going with the Titans feel, the Teen Titans feel of the animated show and what the comic books did. That he was a big factor. He was their arch nemesis, and his children were there. I wonder if they'll ever go. If they'll pick up to do a Judas contracts
the Judas
type
contract?
Style on one of them. Maybe they could do that as a crossover season.
They should like intro Terra probably this season, like, you know, get them an actress.
Well, I wonder if maybe they'll take Ravager or Jericho and put, instead of having her in there, but put one of them in that place.
Nah, I don't think so. You can have Terra. It doesn't work with the kids of Deathstroke. Just doesn't work. I'm sorry. I mean, it's got to be.
Either one. I mean, it could be. It could just to have the story running, I think it will be good. I think that's something that'll be another, you know, next season run or something. Because I mean, that's just a
You got to build that slowly too. You got to throw like little nuggets.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's a season long arc going on. That's just right now. The first arc was to find out who Starfire was and seeing Dick get over his animosity to Bruce, and it's just that growing was there. Now this season, I think, is going to be Dick being Nightwing, probably mentoring Jason Todd, and then the introduction to Superboy and probably finding out his origins.
I can't wait.
Oh, yeah.
I cannot wait. Season of Titans. It looks so good. I mean, all the casting is just on point. And another prediction. Another question, actually. And I think I talked to you about this of Titans with Batman, and you were kind of right. Not really, but sort of right. Do you think we will ever see the Justice League on Titans? They mentioned them on Doom Patrol as well.
I don't think we will. No.
Many times.
I think we'll have our nods like we did here. We had, you know, we did have, we got the Batman sidekicks. We're getting ready to have the Superman Jr. We had what's her name? Wonder Woman's sidekick. Drawing a blank here. Not Wonder Girl.
Donna Troy.
Yeah, Donna Troy. Thank you. Yeah, we had her. I think that's where we're going to see. We're going to see the small side. It's called Titans, and that's what I think we're just going to see.
I know.
I think we'll see a lot of nods, a lot of you just missed so and so. I think you're going to see those. It's about the kids. That's what the show's about. It's not the Young Justice is about the kids and Justice League combined. This one's just straight up Titans. I mean, even look at the Teen Titans animated. You never saw any of the other ones. You saw hints. I don't even think they really ever mentioned Bruce Wayne. I think all you ever saw was the Wayne Tower. They had to break into Wayne Tower. But I don't think they ever mentioned.
Was it in a condo? No, I think it was one of his condos.
It a condo? It was something that had Wayne on the side of the building, and
it was like a safe house or something.
But that's,
which I think is kind of badass, by the way.
Yeah, but that's just. Not in Titans the movie, in the Teen Titans animated. There was a scene. I think they had to break into it was a Wayne warehouse. Nothing was mentioned. It was just like one of those quick little nods. Oh, look, Wayne, and that was it. And because they never really mentioned the adults in the Teen Titans animated.
Well, it's kind of like the CW with Ted Kord. They always mention Kord Industries every single season. And never paid off, which pisses me off.
Well, no, I think that's all it was. That's all it was. It was just a nod. It was just a nugget, an Easter egg for the fanboys. And that's what you're going to get. You get a lot of those through the series. They're going to mention somebody. Mention them a couple of times, but you're probably never going to see them. And that's, you know, we can't get everything. We'd be happy with what we've gotten, because 20 years ago.
I know.
20 years ago, I mean, right now we shouldn't be nitpicky. We should be proud and happy with what we've received.
No, I'm one of you. Trust me. I'm not one of these people that, you know, I don't want to nitpick, but I'm just saying, as the, you know, the fanboy in me is like, you know, I kind of wish they would show up here and there, but nice little nod, but you know, I guess not. So.
And I guess the last one, and this one dropped just recently, just a real quick one. We have news. Doctor Strange is coming in 2020. Doctor Strange 2. Oh, I can't wait. That was a fun movie.
Me too.
Great, fun movie, and it's just him. his attitudes towards everything is just great.
I love him as Doctor Strange. He is the Doctor Strange that if you ever get a chance, like Marvel doesn't really do good animated movies compared to DC, but if you ever get a chance, one of the better ones they made was the Doctor Strange movie. Watch it. Really good. Has the intro, has everything, has Nightmare. I mean, not Nightmare, what are those ghoul type figures that he should fight Nightmare in a second movie.
Yeah, he should.
They have these ghoul type. I'm mixing up my Doctor Strange lore, but
but no, I agree with you. The movie,
the mindless ones. That's it. The mindless.
Yeah, the animated movie was very reminiscent of even the TV, the regular the MCU. When I actually was watching it, I was like, are they gonna do this punch for punch? Which I was like, I was completely cool with. I was like, I love that movie.
It was close. Very close.
I was like, are they going punch for punch on this? I'm on board because I'd love to see them do that, to take some of the animated movies, and something I feel that DC should do. The DC's animated movie line is so strong.
I don't mean to cut you off, but I was just thinking about something when you were mentioning Doctor Strange. The one thing that Marvel does in their intro movies is when they're introducing an antagonist, you're thinking like of a character like, oh, you know, it's Iron Man. It's going to be, you know, what is his name? The guy with the five rings.
An Iron Man?
Yeah. What his main enemy? Like, damn it. Right. Yeah, it's slipping my mind. He was in the third movie, but he wasn't in the third movie. Oh my gosh.
I can hear somebody. I can hear somebody screaming at us.
They are screaming at me. It's the guy with the nine rings. What is his name? Not Genghis Khan. He's based off Genghis Khan, I think. The Mandarin. The Mandarin. Thank you.
That hurt. Sorry about the age, folks. You'll get there.
Sorry, man. Yeah. It's bad stuff. But in the first Doctor Strange movie, they introduced some other guy who was like a villain. Like he was like a basically not even a main villain. He was like a secondary character as the main villain of the first movie.
Right.
I like when Marvel does that. You know, they introduce these lesser-known characters to be main antagonists of the first movie.
Yeah.
But as the series goes on, they will introduce the main big ones.
Right.
And I'm thinking for Doctor Strange 2, they should probably do, like, you know, we have Dormammu out there. So maybe just do Nightmare. Maybe do the mindless ones.
Yeah, they can get away with that. We'll see what happens with the end of this. You know, the end of the end games. Obviously, I guess that's a spoiler. You know, Doctor Strange does come back, apparently. So, yeah, I think we'll see what happens with how it ends and where he stands at the end of it.
You think he's got to show up in Endgame.
Well, he has to. He has to come back. I mean, obviously, they're doing a sequel. So. I mean, they what are they going to talk about? They're going to make a movie about the 1 month he was Doctor Strange before he got killed. So this is what he did on the first day. And...
basically, him and in just recovering.
Yeah.
The whole movie's just him in the hospital recovering. That's it.
Him and Wong just talking, you know, just walking around. That's all.
You know, ordering tuna melts, hanging out in your city, man.
That's what you do.
Visiting the strip clubs.
They go over and get the Chunky Hulk or whatever that ice cream was, you know, and that's what the movie is.
Chunka Burning Love. What is it?
Chunka Hulk or something like? No, it was there was a Hulk flavors they were talking about.
Yeah, it was Rocky Chunky Road. I forgot.
So, but all right.
I want to see a movie where Wong and Strange on the streets of New York.
That's what I think we're going to get. That's going to be, I think, a good chunk of that movie. The second one, at least, is him and Wong. Because I mean, that was talking about some good chemistry and just natural bouncing off.
Oh my god, so good. And Wong is another character. It's like, yeah, in comics he's okay, but in the movies, man.
Oh, he makes it. Yeah, definitely. They definitely make it a lot better.
Yeah, Benedict Wong as Wong. No pun intended. Is that all you got, Mike?
That is all I got. Yeah, I really was surprised. I thought you were going to have the Jason Todd one. I was holding on to it dead last just for you. No. So, like, he's going to say it. He's going to. No, he never did.
No, I never did, man. I'm sorry.
Not a problem. It is. Yeah, it is WrestleMania weekend. We did drop our WrestleMania pre-show and predictions episode today. It is a lengthy episode, so if you guys are hardcore wrestling fans, definitely check it out. If you're not, you know, just you guys can. That's why we dropped the WrestleMania one as a bonus show. So because we know some people are and some people aren't, which we still love you for it. Even regardless of what Thanatos said the other day, said to get off and don't listen. And we still love you, though. So this one will be dropping on our normal Wednesday one. And we have a crazy couple of weeks coming up. This Saturday, I know I will be at the Daytona Beach Comic Con. I don't know if you've been, if you made the call or not.
I have, but nothing.
All right, so far, we will be. I will be there. We'll have our friendly neighborhood Cindy swinging in with us. She'll be there hanging out with me. I'm gonna try to get her name out there. Pass out some little flyers. Anybody wants to come on out, for fun. I think it's like $8 or $10. It's real cheap to get into the Daytona Comic Con.
I would have to say that Sydney is our silent member.
Yeah, she's the third part. Person in here, so
she is definitely the silent member of the family, so it's okay. But Sydney's still great, much loved.
For whatever reason, we'd have to go to court, she'd be the one of our accomplices. So
yes, pretty much. She's gonna be she'll be speaking for us on trial.
Yeah, so. Oh God, no, don't do that. Sweet, no, we don't need that. Why not? We don't need that kind of help.
Oh God, no. Maybe Steve-O can speak for us.
Yeah, there's that too.
Oh no, God, no, please. You know what? I'll just take the sentence.
Yeah, just go ahead. Just hit the gavel on her. We'll move on. Let's not waste anybody's time.
Put the orange suits and the navy suits, and we're off.
As long as they're orange, they'll match my eyes.
You are the orange. Folks, if you don't know what we're talking about, our Supernatural episode a couple weeks ago. Mike here, he's a Supernatural sweaty, as am I, but he forgot to mention that the orange-eyed demon is actually the yellow-eyed demon.
Yeah,
Azazel.
I made a supernatural faux pas.
And, you made a little faux pas, so yeah. If you're wondering what that's from, check out that podcast.
And a few people I do know that did listen, I did walk straight up to them and admit right off the bat, I go, I am so sorry. Something in my head snapped. I was getting ready to say yellow, and then I was like, no, it's not yellow. Why are you saying yellow? It's orange.
So, season 15, yep. Captain Mike Jones will be the last villain for the Winchester boys. He will be the orange-eyed demon.
Yep.
The doorman of hell. So pretty much he's going to open doors and close them as he does in life. So, Mike, what else you got for us?
That is it. That is it. So, really, guys, just if you want to catch up on it, catch up with us. Like I say, give us a ring or pick us up on heroesasylum.com. You can get to everything that we offer from there. And Mr. Thanatos Kane can give you the finer points of doing all of that.
We are on Twitter. Also, Instagram and Facebook. You can download on iTunes, Stitcher. Also, newly on Spotify. Thank you, Mike, by the way. We are on all platforms on the internet. You can find us there. Also, on the Facebook page, it's a very interactive page. We don't have a webmaster or anybody like that. We're not paying somebody on the side. If you want to introduce your comments, thoughts, opinions, questions, we are going to respond. It's not going to be a ghost. It's not going to be somebody else. It'll be us responding. Even on Twitter and Instagram, we're basically we are in charge of that. We'll pull some stuff, geek-related, of course, in our world, thoughts that's going on in the geek world. So please, please, please tweet and Instagram us. Download our podcast. Download this one. We have the WrestleMania special that we put on today, the preview. WrestleMania is going on right now, by the way, WrestleMania 35. Please watch it when you get a chance.
Oh, yeah, brother.
Oh, yeah. And as always, you can reach us at Twitter and on Instagram. And if you want to reach me on Twitter and Instagram, Thanatos Kane, you can reach me there and on Instagram, by the way, as always, and Facebook. With my page is private, but, send me a shout-out. Mike!
All right, guys. That is it for this week. We will see you guys next week. Again, Daytona Comic-Con is coming up, and I think in the famous words of John Schnepp, in honor of John Schnepp, sweaties unite.
Get to the asylum!
Peace.